T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nick Carboni, Panthers pregame host on WFNZ in Charlotte, also sports director at WCTV in Charlotte as well. Nick, how are you?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Sure thing. Yeah, glad to have you as well. So let's start. So the early returns from the Panther fans on Sam Darnold, they like what they see?
Well, I think he definitely, he didn't make the catastrophic throw, which is, I think, when you're talking about Sam Darnold the last 3 years with the Jets, is what everybody was kind of holding their breath waiting for. And listen, he's going to throw interceptions over the course of a 17-game season. It was good that he was able to have a relatively clean game in week one at home in front of the fans for the first time against his former team. So he made some throws that, I think a lot of people expected more of the game managing from him based on what we saw in camp in the preseason. But he did make some throws that were, pretty far through the air and had a 57-yard touchdown pass as well. So it's a much different opponent, and the competition certainly levels up this week with the Saints coming to town.
Now, Nick, with that being said, that's one thing the Houdat Nation, we're very confident in winning in the trenches on our offensive defensive line, and particularly, a lot of young players are working out on defense, but we're pretty damn good off the edge. But the offensive line, but wherever you classify Carolina's offensive line, is the consistency there, or you think that's kind of the weak link? I was just looking; they're counting on a lot of young players on that O-line. Even though Christian McCaffrey's outstanding, I still think it starts up front. And what is your take on the O-line? I know it's just one game, but when you're looking into your crystal ball into the future.
Yeah, I think that Panthers fans would actually rather more young players take some of those spots up front, especially on the left side. The Panthers' big offseason moves up front were to get Cam Irving, a left tackle who's been around the league and hasn't lived up to expectations, and Pat Elflein, their left guard, who was one of the worst-rated guards in the league coming over from Minnesota. And it didn't really hold up as well as you'd like it to in week one. I mean, if the Jets have anything going, it's up front. And they were able to – they only sacked Darnold once, and he did a pretty good job in the pocket, but they hit him 8 times. And a lot of that pressure came up and through the middle. Obviously, against the Saints, that's going to come from the edge with Cam Jordan. He'll be matched up against the Panthers' best O-lineman, thankfully for the Panthers, and right tackle Taylor Moten. But they've got some young guys, young pieces that they just haven't, for whatever reason, plugged into those interior spots, those weak spots yet. And I think that by the end of the season, the line will have a couple of different names on it. But right now, they're going with those guys I mentioned. And that's a huge concern here.
Nick, two questions. One, man, and watching Jeremy Chinn a year ago, man, he's a big-time player. I mean, you can see. He's a young star that's developing in this league. And so I'll get you to comment on Jeremy. The other part is when Joe Brady left the Saints, went to LSU, one of the things he talked to me about is, I want to speed up the game. I want the tempo to be really fast. And he did that at LSU. And I think one of the things he wants to do in the NFL, because he told me, listen, when I get to the NFL back again, I want to speed this game up. Now, the NFL is going to kind of tap the brakes on you. You can't run it at the same breakneck speed that you can in college. But he wants to run it at a faster pace. When I watched the first game with the Panthers, it seemed to be their pace was a little bit more picked up than it was a year ago with Teddy Bridgewater. So your thoughts on Joe Brady and trying to quicken the pace of the game, and also certainly on Jeremy Chinn?
Yeah, going to the Joe Brady and the pace stuff first, I think they did do a very good job with their tempo in the first half. And second half, maybe not as much, although they were playing with a lead, and that's been kind of the knock if there's many on Joe Brady. There aren't many situationally, and tempo at times, getting the plays in, everybody communicated and lined up in time to execute and execute well. So I think they'd certainly like to do more of that, especially with the weapons they have on offense surrounding Sam Darnold. And Jeremy Chinn, I mean, one thing that I didn't realize last year when we had a season where we just were not around these guys and he was a rookie, and the first time I actually met him in person, I mean, the guy is absolutely massive.
Yes.
For a linebacker and now a deep safety. And he is just, you know, one of those guys that's a physical freak athletically. He obviously has a chip on his shoulder, you know, not a first-round pick, not a big school, came out of Southern Illinois, was a late bloomer in high school in Indianapolis in terms of football. So they're putting him in the back end now as opposed to linebacker where he was all last year. But he's a guy that they're going to do a whole lot with, and you're going to have to account for where he's lined up. Now, he didn't have a big monster game this Sunday. Some of the other guys, the bigger names, the veterans, Shaq Thompson and Hassan Reddick and Brian Burns took care of that. But he's going to be a factor in some of these games.
Now, you know, Nick, when I looked at the draft and you look at where Carolina's at, you look at the Saints winning the NFC South 4 years in a row, they're going five-peat and all that stuff. But I'm looking at Carolina completed the draft as the youngest roster in the NFL, basically 24 years of age. Are the fans patient enough? And where, you know, they're at as far as, because, hey, look, we got the youngest team, so we're trying to develop these guys.
I don't know if they are. It's, you know, it's a good NFL town, and part of that comes with it is, you know, living week by week. And even when they win against the Jets, you know, these fans are smart. They know where the red flags are, and they point them out. And I don't think they're completely on board or sold with Matt Rhule yet. Some of them are, and some of them are just kind of waiting it out, waiting to see what happens. And, you know, these fans were spoiled with Ron Rivera. He's a great coach here, and he rattled off three or four division titles in a row as well. So they're certainly not back to that level. The organization, though, giving Matt Rhule a seven-year contract seems to be in the category of being patient and letting him build the roster. I mean, when you look at that O-line, you realize, oh, yeah, this is year two of kind of a rebuild. This is year one under a new general manager and Scott Fitterer. So if you look at it from a football sense, they're kind of where they need to be, and they're hoping that they outperform that a little bit this year.
Nick, one of the guys interested in is the development of Derrick Brown because he was a guy when he was at Auburn. Tell you a quick story. Damian Lewis, who ended up being an early-round pick at Seattle when they were playing Auburn, and that was in that 2019 year, maybe the toughest game LSU played. Derrick Brown was a destroyer up front, and one of the coaches for LSU was hollering at Damian Lewis to block him, and he's like, coach, it's like two of them out there. And he said, well, at least try to block walking on one of them. Just hit one of them. And, you know, we saw in spurts Derrick Brown can be an intimidator and also a big-time player in the middle. A little bit about his progress as a player with the Panthers.
Well, Zach Wilson, the Jets rookie quarterback, got sacked six times last week. He got hit 10 times, and only about one guy did he say, it felt like I got hit by a truck, and that was Derrick Brown. He is a big, big guy. He's extremely strong, and he has only gotten better. I mean, you know, they talk in football about getting better week yep. to week to week. He's one of those guys you actually see it, and I think he's going to have a better year than he did last year, and he didn't have a bad rookie season. And you guys know with defensive tackles, it's tough to measure how we measure everybody else in terms of stats and production because they don't always get the gaudy sack number. So it was good to see him come away with one last week. I think what's going to benefit Derek this year is last year he came into the league thinking that he'd had a seasoned veteran and a former Pro Bowler and KK Short next to him. And KK early in the season got knocked out for the year. And I think that Derek had to take a little bit more on. And they didn't have some of the other guys that they have now, even on the outside, which also helps the inside. So if you have a weak link up the middle, he is just based on his physical strength is going to take advantage of it. So interested to see what happens with obviously the Saints center position this week. And I think Derrick Brown's going to be pretty good going forward.
Now, you know, Nick, everyone knows Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, as good as it gets in the National Football League. But I've always liked even going into last season and where they're at now with their wide receiving core. I'm a DJ Moore fan. Robbie Anderson, like you said, catching a long touchdown pass from Sam Darnold. It seems like they're pretty good there. And the other player that we're familiar with, he was with the Saints, now with Carolina. I mean, with the Panthers, Dan Arnold. Are the people, are they buying into Dan Arnold? Because that's one thing, Carolina's always had pretty good tight ends.
Yeah, but they haven't for a while. And I think people are just hesitant to crown anybody, the next Greg Olsen or Wesley Walls or anything until they see it. Dan Arnold came in here with, you know, a fairly pedestrian season in the books in Arizona, but it was by far the best season that any other Carolina tight end walked into the room with. So I think from that perspective, people are excited. A guy that's produced in the league, when the ball's thrown his way, he generally catches it. I didn't do much this past game. Definitely not the greatest blocker. I mean, this is a kid that was a Division III wide receiver and a hurdler. So the game is still kind of coming to him at this level. But I think he'll be pretty good, and they need him to be, because, you know, a lot of people said after last year, well, maybe Joe Brady just doesn't like the tight end in his offense. Well, of course he does. Look what he did with it at LSU and Moss's kid. So he just needs a guy to get open and present Sam Darnold the target. And the other tight end, Ian Thomas, was open and dropped a touchdown pass, and wasn't the greatest throw by Darnold, admittedly, either. But, I think fans are excited about Arnold, and they're awfully excited about another LSU Tiger. That's Terrace Marshall Jr., who looks pretty good and didn't break out by any means in week one, but he could be dangerous out of the slot.
Nick Carboni, Panthers pregame host on WFNZ in Charlotte, also sports director for WCNC Television in Charlotte as well. Nick, thanks so much for the time, man.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Nick.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.